Good evening and welcome to Primetime Sports. Big Game James McCarty alongside Jace Denman. And on this evening, as football is starting to pick up for us, as we're approaching, only a couple of weeks away from the first games, high school football, volleyball, all that good stuff going on. The NBA is only a couple of months away. The WNBA, though, in the full swing of their season. They're in the home stretch of the regular season. They are in, in all honesty, it probably works just as well as it does for baseball, the dog days of August for them at this point.
How the season has expanded, number one. And number two, we just passed, Sunday, we just passed the WNBA trade deadline. So, you know, if you look at a lot of sports, now not everybody's the same time period. NFL's basically, they moved theirs back now to mid-season. NBA, NHL, they have theirs later on the season, almost three-fourths of the way through. But once you get past that trade deadline, you know, you're in that stretch run getting ready for the playoffs. So WNBA just finished that. Not a ton of huge moves, but, you know, we had the Kelsey Plum trade from Los Angeles over to Phoenix. So Phoenix now could be more of a player when it comes to the postseason. But, you know, you kind of got your set of teams, I think, that are looking to be pretty much entrenched in getting a playoff spot. There's a few teams that maybe could move up or swap spots with those in the top eight, but you're kind of looking like you know who's going to be in the playoffs. It's about matchups, et cetera, which, of course, that's the interesting part when it comes to our very own Minnesota Lynx, because they've had a few teams where you're like, they're struggling against this team, and then there's other teams that they've that are really good teams that they've fared really well against. So, I don't know. I've just been, I think maybe because I'm not a huge baseball guy, James, I have been really trying to focus in and tune in to the Minnesota Lynx. And, of course, that has a lot to do with Nafisha Collier coming back. But more importantly, what I think is going to be the rookie of the year running away with Olivia Miles. I think she honestly should be getting some MVP consideration in addition to rookie of the year, because she has just been absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, Miles has been terrific. So the Lynx entering tonight, because they're going to be on national television here this evening on Prime Video. Going to be a should be hopefully a fun matchup, as the Minnesota Lynx have a good opportunity. Golly, I had everything pulled up here and now it's being all wonky on me. But yeah, the Lynx tonight at 8 o'clock will have a chance on Prime Video to go out, and it's Wednesday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thursday. Thursday evening. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm looking, and I was like, I got ahead of myself, because I was previewing it for the sports headlines tomorrow morning. Yeah. I was working on my document before the show this morning. That's why I can't find it on Wednesday's schedule. So, you know, for all that good stuff, scratch that overall. But Thursday night at 8 o'clock, the Lynx will return to the hardwood as they host the LA Sparks, again, on Prime Video. You mentioned Kelsey Plum has since been traded to Phoenix, right?
Yeah, she has been traded.
Because there was rumors that she may end up in Seattle, possibly, I had heard. And she ends up in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. So the Sparks are kind of in this spot where they want to go into a rebuild, but they still have a, you know, mid-20s-year-old in Cameron Brink, who is finally
healthy from
the injury she had. She was incredible her college days at Stanford.
Yep.
And then just unfortunately shortly after coming to the WNBA, it had been injured. So now that I've realized what day of the week it is, and I've solidified that.
Just wait till football season gets even farther going. You know, it'd be tough to tell what day of the week it is.
Oh, I'll have absolutely no idea. The only way that I'll know what day it is because sometimes I'll have social media posts that are pre-planned or pre-scheduled, and at like 7:30 it'll pop up and go, "Hey, we got Fargo Davies against West Fargo Cheyenne in high school football tonight." And I'm like, "Oh, it must be Friday."
Well,
come check out the check out the West Fargo High versus Shanley volleyball match tonight. I'm like, "Oh, it must be a Tuesday." You know, like that. Well, that's how I'm going to decipher what day of the week.
Well,
it is.
Usually you'll know what day Sunday is if you show up to the office and there's nobody here on a Sunday. So you'll know.
Well, the thing is, usually when I show up, there's almost nobody here to begin with anyways. So I would take an hour or two before I'd be like, nobody else is showing up.
For those that don't know, when someone like our very own Bonnie Amistadi is gone, because she is, congratulations once again to her on our show tonight, but said it this morning on Bonnie and Friends, she's a grandmother for the second time, so she's off, which means you get to start your day even earlier. So you are busy pretty much 24/7 due to co-hosting duties with me in the mornings, and then of course your sports director duties, etc. So Yeah, it's tough to know what day of the week it is, let alone what time of day it is. Good thing that, you know, we have the sun going up and down. Otherwise, you wouldn't know if it's day or nighttime.
Yeah, so, and with all that good stuff, back to tonight's task at hand with the Minnesota Lynx and and the fact that we're not anticipating tip-off. I was all excited, too.
You were like, and I was I was like, really?
I had convinced myself that it was Thursday, but it's Wednesday. So that goes to show everybody, you know, where I'm at mentally at this point in the middle of the week. So, also, you know, NASCAR is going to Iowa, Newton, Iowa this weekend, which means that I get an awesome opportunity to go see some family and go watch the races. I'm not going to make it to the Friday race, the truck series, because I've got some obligations up at North Dakota State with some football stuff on Friday. But Saturday and Sunday, I'll be at the O'Reilly series race on Saturday at late afternoon. Then I'll be at the Sunday afternoon race. And then Monday I'll be coming home. So I'm looking forward to that.
I thought that was just one race you guys went to. I didn't realize you go to the whole weekend.
Yeah, well, there's an opportunity for three races most weekends. Usually there's a truck race. Sometimes, periodically, you know, from time to time throughout the year, there are certain, you know, truck series style races that we'll end up at a different venue, but I've never had a chance to get to the truck series, and I wish I could. One of these years, I will make it to the truck series as well, because I think that would be just cool to see. And I think that's a good track for the trucks. It's a 7/8 mile track. I think it's going to form a little bit better to the trucks overall than what some of the larger ones are, just because, of course, you know, the cars themselves are going a little bit faster than the trucks overall. And so I think that would really really muck up the truck races in that short track. But I'll very well could be watching it on television, or at least, you know, checking out highlights of it Friday night after I get done with NDSU. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So with all that being said, as you can probably tell, I don't know what day of the week it is. So when the Lynx do play on tomorrow, so they played last on Sunday. They increased their winning streak to 10 games. Which is awesome to see. They're 25-6 on the year, best record in the WNBA. But you had mentioned a couple minutes ago before I got real far off tangent and was trying to figure out. I'm like, I can't figure out why I can't find the game tonight. Well, that's why, because you know, it's 8 o'clock on Thursday when they host the LA Sparks. So LA looks like they're kind of going through the hard rebuild now. And the question is going to be, I would assume, this off season before the 2027 season were to start. Are they looking to use Cameron Brink as their future star on the team, or do they try and dish her out maybe even prior to the 2027 draft for assets, and they go through a hard rebuild? Regardless, all of that aside, the Minnesota Lynx, you had mentioned Olivia Miles. Yeah. She has been absolutely incredible. So I'm going to bounce between kind of the thoughts of the Sparks, the thoughts with Miles, things of those sorts for a couple of minutes. But you had mentioned how Miles, you believe, is going to be the runaway for Rookie of the Year. Yeah. I don't think many people are disputing that. No. And I don't think that she'll get a ton of consideration for MVP, but I think that a couple people will mention her. I wouldn't be shocked if she got a couple of, you know, third, fourth, or even fifth place votes.
She's in just the top
within a ballot because of that. But, I mean, she's averaging just shy of 20 points a game, 19.7 points in 29 games, and she started in all 29. She missed two games just due to a little bit, kind of got banged up in the lower half of the body prior to the All-Star break, but she came back and was playing in the All-Star game and did some good stuff. So 19.7 points, 4.7 rebounds, 5.8 assists. She averages 1.3 steals per game at this point. Now, of course, you go, three turnovers. Keep in mind, she's also still a 22-year-old rookie at this point, right? So,
well, she's also the primary ball handler when she's
exactly
out there. Now, granted, don't get me wrong,
there's a lot of things to it. So just for that example, the assist to turnover ratio, usually, you know, they say you'd like to be, you know, 2-0 or something like that. You'd like you'd like to have a couple of assists to each turnover. She's a 2.0 assist to turnover ratio. The Nafisa Collier is a 2.2. You have Courtney Williams, who's a 2.3 this year, which is really good. And part of that's because Williams doesn't have to take the ball up court anymore.
She's more of her natural. She's more of in her natural shooting guard position. And the other thing too is that I think that Fisha Collier, they went to a quote from her prior to being able to be activated and playing this season, is that a player even like such as Nafisha Collier, a 2-time runner up for the MVP of the league, she had to adjust to being ready for these passes from Olivia Miles, because she's one of those players that, I mean, when I watch her as a rookie, trying to relate it to NBA, and we've had a couple, you know, 2-3 fantastic rookies with the Minnesota Timberwolves, right? And Olivia Miles, watching her play, is somewhere between kind of watching a Ricky Rubio ability pass-wise with the scoring prowess of a guy like Anthony Edwards. I mean, I'm not saying she's quite at those guys' level, but she is a rookie, and she is playing at a high, high level. And some of the players on this team, some of her teammates, have to be ready for the ball at all times because, I mean, I don't know about you, James, but there's been times you play pickup ball, and you play with a guy at the pickup level here locally, and you play with a guy that's either played collegiately or he's played at a high level at the high school level here, and all of a sudden you're just making a normal cut, and normally the guy in the pickup game doesn't see you. You've made a cut. You made a backdoor cut. You're wide open. You're like, oh, I'll just circle back around, go back out to the perimeter. Well, when you're making that cut, all of a sudden you get someone that anticipates that, can find you while you're cutting. Mm-hmm. You got to have your hands ready for that because sometimes if you don't have a passer like that, I'm not trying to downplay some of our other players' passing ability like Courtney Williams, who was primarily playing that point guard position last year. But when you have someone that has the vision and the basketball IQ that Olivia Miles has, you have to be ready for that pass pretty much at all times. And it's taken some of her teammates a little bit of an adjustment to get used to that. A player that's really gotten used to it is Kayla McBride. I mean, she is shooting just an astronomical percentage from the three-point line this year because, number one, she's got a super quick release, and a player like Olivia Miles, she's finding her as soon as she becomes available, able to hit her with that pass, and she's able to catch and shoot. She's always ready to catch and shoot. She's in that, you know, typical three-point stance where she's ready to, you know, pass, dribble, or shoot. And I tell you what, Olivia Miles is by far and away probably the best fit we could have had with that number two overall pick. I mean, we're a little bit lucky that she didn't go number one overall to Dallas, but obviously they took AZ Fudd. But I just think this has really worked out. Olivia's really been carrying this team. You saw the difference when she wasn't in for those two games, how the team reacted without her being out, and now she's
able. Well, she wasn't there, and then also Nafisa Collier still hadn't made her season debut yet.
Exactly.
Now, at this point, Collier has been back for four games. It'll be
double
game five on
game.
Thursday, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and so, I mean, just in a small sample size, Collier, 18.3 points, just over 7 rebounds, 3.5 assists, a steal and a half a game, block a game, all those good things. So you have, you know, a two-time runner-up for the MVP who missed the first 27 games of the year for starters, and then you have a second overall pick that you think can make an impact and possibly could start because of all the veterans around, like Collier, who didn't play the first 2.5 months of the year, which is unfortunate for the Lynx. But then you have the Natasha Howards, the Kayla McBrides, the Courtney Williamses of the world that are able to really help her develop and be comfortable coming to her own, and it helped her hit the ground running because, of course, you saw a game or two of the first five where you're like, ooh, there's some promise there. There's a game or two in the first five where you're like, ooh, there's a lot to improve upon. And now she has really gotten confident and almost feels like she's a second-year player versus a rookie at this point through what is 31 out of a 44-game regular season. But now that Collier is back too, it just adds another head-on to the dragon or the monster that is the Minnesota Lynx. And it's been a ton of fun to watch. It's exciting to watch. And I'm looking forward to seeing kind of how the rest of the season can go for the Minnesota Lynx and company specifically. Now with a thought when it comes to standings, the power rankings, things of those sorts, kind of as we're continuing on here this evening, I just for the heck of it, I was kind of looking at, you know, the standings, seeing where things are at, because the Lynx, as of tonight, they have a 3.5 game lead over the second place team in the league, which is a tie with Golden State and Las Vegas at this point, right? Both 21-9. The Lynx are 25-6. So you're like, okay, the Lynx are just head and shoulders above everybody. That's, you know, that's cool, right?
Yeah.
Well, then you look at how the standings goes from second place to eighth place. It's only a 4-game difference. When you've got 12, 13 games, give or take, for each team left, that means you could go from hosting in the opening series, right? You could be the home team in the opening series of the postseason and get those much-needed games behind your fan base, too. You could be on the road playing the 2 seed. You could go from the 2 seed to the 8 seed in literally the matter of 10 days if things go sideways for you, which is crazy to think about. And then just another quick side note before I cut you loose in your thoughts for a couple of minutes here, you kind of see the quote-unquote bottom half of the league. It's kind of
separation.
It's accepted, right, at that point. I mean, from 8th, which is Washington right now, to 9th, which is the LA Sparks, is a 5-game lead, right?
Yep.
The Sparks are 5 games behind 8th place Washington. They just traded off their best player as of right now in Kelsey Plum. And so you can see they're going towards that rebuild. Phoenix, who was, of course, You know, they win it last year.
No, they were the run up to Vegas.
They were runner up to Vegas. Yep, that's what it was. Yeah, they ended up making a run to it, and you're like, oh, how did that end up happening?
Yeah, it's kind of weird looking at the team.
Yeah, it was, but now they're going to try and make a push with Kelsey Plum, which there's a possibility there, but you're talking about being 5.5 games back with 12, 13 games to go.
Yep.
That's going to be tough for you. Chicago, as we've seen, they kind of have accepted that they want – I mean, they had two first-round picks last year, one of which they cut. The other one they traded to Atlanta, right, or 2 years ago. So they're kind of in a weird rebuild.
Yep.
Portland, Toronto, they're still building for the future.
Well, they're
expansion teams. Connecticut and Seattle. Connecticut was 7 wins. Seattle was 6 this year. They're both kind of cutting their losses for next season as well at this point. So my point is, really, I suppose, outside of the top 8, there's only really one team you could probably say is trying to fight for a playoff spot. That would be Phoenix, just because they acquired Kelsey Plum. But at the same point, is it really feasible to think that you're going to make up 6 games with 13 remaining for most teams? That's going to be incredibly difficult to manage and be able to make happen.
You'd have to be on an incredible hot streak.
And at the same point, too, keep in mind, something that I just was looking at realizing, Washington has played 28 games at this point. So they actually have 16 games left with a 5.5 game lead. Yep. So, I mean, Phoenix has played 31 with 13 left, right? So they have 3 games in hand with a 5.5 game lead for that eight seed. That's really going to make life tough for Phoenix, but that's interesting to me, and that was just a quick point I wanted to make about the Lynx game. As excited as I am on Thursday for it, because it'll be nationally televised on Prime Video. Mm-hmm. You're going to be able to – that'll be the first, I believe, nationally televised. It might be the second. They might have been on ABC a couple nights ago.
ABC last weekend. Yep.
But, you know, the first what I deem to be a prime time nationally televised. That's a good way to put it, because I think it was a noon game on ABC.
It was a noon game.
On Saturday or Sunday. With both Miles and Collier out there, something to look forward to, even though it feels like their opponent in the Sparks are cutting their losses for next season. That was kind of the one point I was trying to get to. It was the train was trying to circle around, but there was a detour that was unintended with it. So cut you loose.
And like I said, basically you have your top 8. Phoenix is going to try and make a push with acquiring Kelsey Plum. And Kelsey Plum is a free agent at the end of the season. So maybe Phoenix can get her, show her this is the place for her to be, and she'll stay there long term. We don't know. But basically your 8 teams are kind of, for the most part, unless somebody really has a bad losing streak, they're pretty much set. I think what is going to be interesting in those top 8, though, James, is going to be where everybody gets seated and how those playoff matchups kind of take shape. Because I believe earlier this year that the Lynx did lose to Washington in a matchup, and then they had another matchup which was fairly close. The New York Liberty, that is a very good team that is sitting there at 7th position right now. So you could potentially, if Washington is able to overcome New York, you could match up New York and Minnesota, which was a WNBA Finals just a couple years ago. So we don't know who the Lynx's first round matchup is going to be, because you're going to seed everybody 1 through 8 according to the league. The division winner or the conference winners, I don't think matters at all this season. So it's 1 through 8. Lynx are going to have, I believe, a best of 3 or a best of 5. I don't know if all of them are best of 5s. I know the finals are a best of 7. I think the conference semi or the semifinals and the finals or no. How does that go? Quarterfinals?
It's best of 3, I believe, the first round, then 5 and 7.
3, 5, and 7 is how it's going? I was thinking there was an extra round.
Let me check to make sure now.
Because obviously the NBA's got 16 teams in the playoffs. I was getting that confused. But, you know, Vegas and Golden State playing very well. Dallas with Paige Beckers. And then, of course, AZ Fudd playing better. And they've got a couple of former Minnesota Lynx players on that Dallas roster. They're going to be tough. Indiana. You've got, Aaliyah Boston and Caitlin Clark on their team.
Yeah, Sophie Cunningham.
Kelsey Mitchell's on that team.
Kelsey Mitchell, I mean, that's a fun team.
Mitchell played awesome against us on Sunday.
Just Atlanta. a quick note, just because I got to make sure that we cover.
Yep.
Cover and we're correct. So it is first round, best of 3.
Okay.
It's a 1-1-1 home court pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Best of 5 in the semifinals, which is a 2-2-1 format. Yep. Home, home, and home. And then the best of 7 finals, 2-2-1-1-1.
Yep.
Continue.
So, I mean, I think that the first round matchup and a best 2 out of 3 against Washington, that obviously could be difficult. Maybe if you play New York, second round, you'd play more than likely the 4-5. which right now Dallas and Indiana are right there at 4-5. Atlanta's a half game back and 6. So any one of those teams are difficult to play against for the Lynx. I mean, the Lynx are healthy now. I was going to circle back to that too. Nafisha Collier's back. Dorca Juhas is back. You get Nafisha Collier back so close to the trade deadline, that's almost a huge trade right there that you're adding to your roster. And, oh, by the way, she's familiar with the system, with her teammates, and she's a two-time runner-up at MVP. Vegas is always going to be tough down the stretch, you know, especially when it comes to playoff time. Becky Hammon is their head coach, you know, from the school of Greg Popovich as a head coach. That's a great organization over there. They've won, what, 3 out of the last 4 WNBA titles. Golden State had a great first year as a franchise. They're back this year, 21-9, won 70% of their ball games. They're playing super well. And then, like I said, Dallas and Indiana, a second-round matchup against one of those two teams would be an awfully tough matchup. But this Lynx team has been really, really playing well this season. A couple shout-outs to a couple players we haven't maybe mentioned as much during this broadcast tonight, James. We obviously mentioned Kayla McBride, but like I said, Dorca Juhas is back. Nafisha Collier's back. Nia Coffey's played really well when Nafisha was out. She is a little bit underrated. Not Natasha Howard's back to all-star form. Dorca is back, and so she's adding something to this roster. And quite honestly, I did not know she had the range that she does. She's been knocking down, like, well, there was one game she knocked down 4 threes from deep, and so she's playing well. I can't remember which player it was. I think it was number 11, so Aliska Jakovla. She had, I believe, 4 threes in a game where we needed those threes to pull that victory out. So a lot of players have been stepping up when their numbers have been called. Sometimes that rotation of players is a bit tighter leash in the WNBA, kind of like even in the NBA G League when you have smaller roster sizes of 11, 12 players. Mm-hmm. And speaking of roster sizes, right as the trade deadline was going on, everything was done, you know, maybe it's a very slick move by coach and GM Cheryl Reeves, but the Minnesota Lynx signed Chloe Bibby to an offer sheet of some sort for a full WNBA contract rather than a developmental one. Chicago did not match, so they're able to bring in a 6'2 forward from Maryland and have her on the roster and available for some added depth. So you're kind of almost like in lieu of your deadline deals that the Lynx could have made, like a lot of other teams maybe tried to. They bring in Bibby as basically a free agent signing, and they get Dorca and Nafisha back for the stretch run. So here you are hitting finally for the first time a healthy roster for the Minnesota Lynx as we get into crunch time. And now granted, it seems a little weird that this season it continues to get kind of spaced out as they add games over the course of the summer as the WNBA is now in their 30th year. We're going to be playing all the way into September before we get to playoff time. So we still got several weeks left of WNBA action, but I just think that right now, granted in this 10-game winning streak, James, a lot of those games that the Lynx have won have been by less than double digits. It's not like they've been blowing everybody out. They've had to really grind some of these wins out, and sometimes they've had these double-digit leads. They get down, they get tied, or they get only up by 2, the lead gets cut, but they're able to find ways to close out teams, and I think that's really a sign of a great team. If you can find ways to grind out these wins and not lose them after you've had double-digit leads. I mean, we've seen the Minnesota Timberwolves lose a bunch of games where they've had double-digit leads, so it's been an impressive season so far for the Lynx.
It really has been, and I think it just goes to show in the last couple minutes of the show as we're, before we get cut off here this evening, the maturity of Olivia Miles, but also the resurgence of Natasha Howard, the emergence and return of Nafisha Collier, like you had mentioned, Kayla McBride shooting as well as she is this year. But I think it's really helped out too because Olivia Miles being the primary ball handler has put Courtney Williams at the 2, and that has really helped her efficiency as well. Where I remember last year it would be like, man, Courtney did have 9 assists. That was awesome today, but she had 7 turnovers because she's a great ball player. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. She's a great ball player. There are players that should have the ball in their hands as they're crossing half court. There are players that should get it once the set starts. She's a player that should get it once the set starts to kind of make that final move, that last
she
decider.
She is a mid-range assassin.
Mid-range slashing, that style.
She can go in transition, pull up from mid-range about free throw length, and she just knocks him down so consistently. She is so tough. And when you get players like Miles and Williams and Collier all in double figures doing a lot of good work out there, this team is going to be really, really hard to put out of the playoffs this year.
It will be. And so the last question that that I have at this point, I don't even think it really matters what happens the last month of the year. I think you have Olivia Miles locked for Rookie of the Year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Lynx are pretty close to being able to confidently say that they'll be the one seed, which is awesome for the home crowd fans at the Target Center in Minneapolis. But I'm looking forward to that, and I can't wait because we're probably a month away from seeing the Fusa Collier back in game shape fully.
Oh, yeah. She's even admitted that. She's even said, look, I was in shape. Don't get me wrong. I was in shape before I came back, but there's something about basketball shape, and any basketball player mm-hmm. out there will tell you that. They can be running on a treadmill, doing elliptical, bike, whatever the case is. You can be in great shape, but there's something about the stop and start and jumping, pushing, shoving when you got to box out, etc. There's a different physicality, a different in shape you have to be when you're on the basketball court.
100%, and that's what we're going to end up seeing probably the last three to five games mm-hmm. before the postseason for the Lynx, and looking forward to that. So we're out of time for tonight. So with all that being said, tomorrow night, Thursday night, no primetime sports. We'll be back on Friday, though. You'll hear from a couple Dragon football players as we get underway for the 2026 college football season. Going to be a fun show for that. So thank you for tuning in with us tonight. Until Friday night, have a great night, y'all, and God bless.
Yep, you betcha.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.